Thank you for tuning in to the Essential Church Podcast, a church where we focus on restoration over denomination. If you're in the Virginia Beach area and would like to find out more about Essential Church, visit our webpage at essentialchurch.com.
Always love Christmas with the gifts all over the stage. Of course, the only problem for me is it restricts where I can move, so it's kind of I feel all caged in this morning, but that's a good thing. This morning we're going to be picking up our series on white elephant, and some of y'all, it surprised me, didn't even know what a white elephant was till we started the series. It's basically a gift you don't want to get, and so you have two options when you get a gift that you don't want to get. You either throw the thing away, or you re-gift it, and you just wait till there's the next Christmas party, or maybe somebody who, you know, you don't like very much, and you give it to them, and you just sort of spread that misery onto them, or you think to yourself, you know, I don't really want this, but maybe they will like this because they have poor taste or something. I don't know what you think, but you just re-gift those kind of things. The problem, though, is in life, we often are given things that we don't want, and we unknowingly, or even sometimes knowingly, give those things away again and again and again. And so my hope this year is we'll take some of those things that we've been given and decide we're going to de-gift them once and for all, because after all, nobody else wants your junk. And our theme verse for this is out of Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15, which says, "See to it that none of you fall short of the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many." Last week we talked about how oftentimes in life we are given circumstances that we didn't want, didn't expect, and weren't hoping to enter into, and you have an option there. You're either going to complain, and you're basically going to spread the misery out of everybody else because of your complaint and infectiously hurt everybody else because the bitterness of your circumstances grows within you and like that bitter root. And if it doesn't get processed through God's grace, it's going to overflow into complaints. You're going to be complaining, and it's going to contagiously hurt yourself and hurt others. This morning, kind of as you saw there in the Arrested Development clip, I'm going to be talking about how hurt people will hurt people. And so oftentimes we are hurt in life, and we re-gift that hurt to other people. There's a great quote from Satchel Paige, if you don't know who Satchel Paige is. He was, I think, the first African-American pitcher in the major leagues. And just like Jackie Robinson broke through the color barrier in Major League Baseball, he's the one who broke through that barrier when it came to pitchers. And so he was, I mean, of course, you got to be phenomenal if you're going to do something like that, because you got to be better and better and better than everybody else by a mile, and he was. Stories are that he was able to pitch and strike people out into his 60s even. Was just that good. There was one of the times when they were trying to embarrass him, a team put up their four best hitters, and the confidence that Satchel Paige had, he told his outfield to go sit in the dugout, and he told all the infield to sit down on the bases, and he struck all four guys out. He was just literally that good. He was known for a lot of great sayings, like kind of like Yogi Berra's got a couple of them. His was, if you want to be a good pitcher, you got to keep the ball off the fat part of the bat. Makes sense? One of his quotes, though, is actually one that maybe some of y'all have heard, just didn't know where it came from. Maybe some of y'all have this on a shirt. Maybe you've got this on, you know, some sort of crafty wood thing with some distressed look to it. It's funny where the, because most people don't even know where these quotes come from. Satchel Paige actually is one credited for saying, "Work like you don't need the money, dance like nobody's watching, and love like you've never been hurt." The context, though, for that is what a lot of people don't know. Because that just sounds like, oh, one of those great things you kind of picture, you know, somebody kind of living this carefree, frivolous life. The context for that one, "Love Like You've Never Been Hurt," was after he had basically been ridiculed and abused and tormented out on the field and had stuff thrown at him. He was asked, you know, "How is it that you keep a smile on your face through all that?" And he says, "You just got to love like you've never been hurt." That was the context for that. And so the question is, how do you get to the place where you can love like you've never been hurt when we all know the reality that hurt people hurt people? And all of us have been hurt. And if you haven't been hurt, you ain't old enough, just give it some time. Because you're going to get hurt, right? I mean, it's like, you know, whoever says they've never been hurt, you look at it and you're like, yeah, just give it time. Because, you know, you're going to get stabbed in the back. You're going to get betrayed. You're going to have people turn on you. And it usually happens from people who you've sacrificed for, cared for, loved, given your life to. One of the things I do in pre-marriage counseling is I do this with every couple I've ever done pre-marriage counseling with. I have them sit down in one of our sessions together and say, you know, turn and look at each other. next week we're going to go over our vows, and they're going to be the vows that, you know, are the public vows, the vows that look, you know, cute and pretty and sweet. These are the real vows. So your real vows are right now, but we got to get those out of the way before we get to those vows. Your real vows are simply this. I say, you know, turn and look at each other, hold each other's hands, both of you at the same time repeat after me. I state your name, and usually one of them jokes and is like, state your name, but no, actually say your name. Would like to ask you to be my husband, wife, because I love you very much. But before we begin, or before we do this, there's something about me you need to know. I'm a sinner. And because I'm a sinner, I'm going to hurt you more deeply and wound you more severely than anybody else ever will the rest of your life. Do you still want to do this? That's an honest marriage vow, isn't it? Because when I said you'll be hurt, and you've been hurt, for many of you, the first person you thought of is your spouse. Because they have the opportunity and the potential to hurt you more than anybody else ever will. I love what Mark Twain said about this. He says, if you were to find a dog on the side of the road who's been abused and hurt and wounded, and if you were to nurse that dog back to health and gently care for it over some period of time to the point where it's been fully restored, says that dog will never bite you. And therein lies the difference between human beings and a dog. Because so many of y'all have been bitten before by people that you've loved and you've cared for. Now, to prepare for this message, I read through many different sources. I even read a book called Hurt People, Hurt People. Went through a lot of different internet blogs, Psychology Today, different stuff, and listened to several things. And so as I do this, whenever I prepare a message, I just keep a note sheet. And I kind of, you know, found 10 things or 10 reasons why hurt people hurt people. I have no idea how to source them at this point because I didn't write down my sources. So if you ask me, where did you get that from? I don't have an answer for you. If somebody's listening to this in the future and I'm quoting something from you, just know I'd love to give you credit. Write me and I'll give you credit at some point, however I can. But here's 10 things I saw from different sources for why hurt people hurt people. Now, as I read this list, your instinct is going to be to think of a time when somebody's hurt you like this. That's what you're, instantly, and everybody can do that. For many of you, you'll go 10 for 10. 10 of these things that I read, 10 reasons, you'll go, yep, somebody hurt me because that was their issue. Yep, that was her issue. Yep, that was his issue. Every one of us can do that. And if you can't go 10 for 10, you'll probably at least go 5 for 10 or better. The challenge right now, though, is this is for you. The Holy Spirit wanted you here for you. That's why he brought you here, okay? So you're here for you. So what you need to do is you need to listen to these things and ask yourself, do I do this? We all just said we've been hurt, right? And hurt people, unless you've processed that hurt through the grace of God. If you don't process that hurt through the grace of God, like Hebrews 12 says, a bitter root's going to grow up in you. It's going to cause you harm and cause other people problems, i.e. hurt people will hurt people when it's not processed through God's grace. And I would venture to guess that you have not processed all of your hurt through God's grace at this point. There's still some wounds that are a little fresh. And so because of that, there is a high likelihood you've hurt somebody or you're hurting somebody in one of these ways. So can we listen this morning with us thinking about ourselves in mind and ask ourselves, am I doing that? Have I been hurt like that, and do I do that? All right, number one, hurt people interpret every word spoken to them through a prism of their own pain. And because of their own pain, ordinary words are often misinterpreted to be something negative towards them. And therefore, they get extremely sensitive and act out of pain instead of out of reality. So, somebody just said something completely benign, but you just assumed that they were riding you. It happens for me like this. Somebody will say, can you roll the window up? I'm trying to! Where did that come from? Was I responding out of my own pain, of somebody nagging me or telling me I'm not good enough, or was I responding out of reality? Maybe it's happened for you, that's why you left. Hurt people interpret every action through the prism of their own pain. Emotional pain causes them to suspect wrong motives or evil intent behind other people's actions towards them, even when it was surely done out of kindness. Somebody gets you some water, oh, I know why they did that. They're just trying to butter me up. You just assume wrong motive for what people do. Why? That's out of your own hurt. And when you assume wrong motives, you will find that your hurt will cause hurt. Number three. Hurt people often portray themselves as victim and carry a victim spirit. You'll find yourself using words like unjust and unfair to describe the way you're being treated, even when there's no truth to this. You'll just assume that it was a travesty of injustice. You'll just assume that they purposely intended to do this. Number four, hurt people often carry around a suspicious spirit. They have a hard time entering into trusting relationships because they assume everybody else will hurt them like they were hurt before. Number five, hurt people often alienate others and then turn around and wonder why there's nobody that's there for them. They often continually hurt the ones they love because they're the ones they need the most because of their own self-destructive behavior, then wonder why there's nobody in their life who cares for them or seems to be close to them. Number six, hurt people often try to control and then abuse people around them because it temporarily numbs their pain from when they were controlled or abused. Victims feel like they've gained some sort of inner strength and personal mastery by controlling people who are less powerful than themselves. Number seven, hurt people often erupt with inappropriate emotion because of particular words or actions that touch or trigger past wounds. For some people, you know, Christmas is a trigger. Birthdays are a trigger. Or a certain phrase is a trigger. Somebody will say, you look just like your dad. And all of a sudden, it just triggers something because there's a dad wound there. And all of a sudden, it's go time. And they just go off for no reason. They storm out, and you're like, what did I say? You have no idea what you said. You triggered something within them that was still a hurt. And so because of that, they lash back out in that moment. Number eight, hurt people often occupy themselves with the busyness of work or performance or their appearance to compensate for their place where they're hurting. As such, whenever a comment is made on their work or their performance or the way they look, they take it extremely personal because that's what they were using to try to cover their hurt. That's why when you say, oh, that looks great, could we try that in blue? And then all of a sudden, they just have an absolute meltdown. You're like, seriously, why are you so sensitive? I just said we needed to try it in blue. Oh, well, so you just said the way I did it wasn't good. I did it in green, and you don't like green. No, I just thought blue would be nice. What happened? You brought up the fact that they were trying to cover their hurt with their performance, and when you commented on their performance in any way, it triggered out that hurt, and they hurt you. Hurt people are often insensitive to other people's hurts because they're so self-absorbed in their own pain, they're unaware of other people's hurts or how they're hurting other people. Their emotional pain then limits their capacity for empathy and their capacity for self-awareness. This is why hurt people rarely ever apologize because they don't have any clue that you're hurting or that they've hurt you. Use the analogy, physical pain mirrors emotional pain in a lot of ways. One of them is if you have a broken leg, let's just say you just fell off your bike and you broke your leg. And at the same time, somebody else kind of stubbed their toe on their pedal. And they go, I hurt my toe. Don't you care? What's your response? Hurt people are going to hurt. Whatever you say is probably not going to be sensitive, caring, and loving, right? Because you're so absorbed with your own pain. And maybe rightly so. But when you carry around emotional pain from years ago, you have a hard time showing any empathy or care for somebody else. And they can't see your broken leg. Like you can see your own hurt. And then lastly, and this one I thought was, it kind of caught me off. I didn't expect to find this in this study, but I've seen this before many times. Hurt people often have the emotional maturity locked in at the age where they received their undealt with hurt. So if they were abused or hurt when they were 12, in that particular area, they will often act like a 12-year-old in that area. So the scripture says, see to it that nobody falls short of the grace of God. Because when your hurt has not been processed through the grace of God, it's going to lead to a bitter root. You're going to have some bitterness that's undealt with down in your soul. And that bitterness, as Hebrews chapter 12 says, is going to come up. It's going to cause trouble and defile many. It's going to constantly be a problem for you and constantly hurt others. Now, in the scriptures, we see examples of people who love like they've never been hurt. You don't always see, I mean, this is a kind of a world truism that hurt people are going to hurt people. But you see some examples that are exceptions to this rule. Like, for instance, if you go back and look at the life of Joseph in the book of Genesis, he is hurt very deeply. His brothers betray him. They were going to kill him. They said, you know, we don't get any money out of that. So they sell him as a slave to a foreign country. He's then in a foreign country, and the family that he's there and working for then betrays him. And then he's thrown in jail because of it. And then he helps somebody while he's in jail, and then they forget him. And they leave him out. And just again and again and again, people betray him and forget about him and do him wrong. But when he has the chance to get everybody back for what they've done to him, what's he do? He shows grace. His brothers come to them, and they're fearful that he's going to take out vengeance because now Joseph is in a position of power, and they are in a position of need. And he just simply looks at them in Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, and he says, what you guys meant for evil, God's used for good. And I'm not going to cause you any harm. You're my brothers, and I love you, and I'll always care for you. He doesn't pay back the hurt for hurt. Rather, he loves like he's never been hurt in that moment. Moses, he tries to help the nation of God. He tries to help out his fellow countrymen, and they reject him. And so he runs off and feels like he's banished out into the wilderness where he spends the next 40 years of his life in the middle of nowhere. And then God calls him. He says, I want you to go back and help those people. It's like, help those people? How is it that Moses is able to go back and love like he's never been hurt? And of course, the greatest example, of course, is Jesus Christ himself. Jesus just continued to love and love and love, and all his life was just a man of sorrows and a man of hurt, again and again and again. I mean, the people who are crucifying him on the cross are the very people he's dying for, and they mock him the whole way there. His disciples all scatter and leave. Peter, who's supposed to be the leader, denies he even knows him. And what does Jesus do? He says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He commissions all those disciples to become his apostles, to take his message to the whole world, and then he appoints Peter as the leader of it all. How do you get to the place where instead of hurting people from your hurt, you can love like you've never been hurt? Well, there's some other truisms we see in Scripture. While you may see in life that hurt people hurt people, one of the things you see in Scripture is that forgiven people forgive people. That forgiven people forgive people. Universally, whether you come from a Christian background or not a Christian background, everybody universally agrees hurt people will hurt people unless they can find the capacity to forgive. But how do you forgive somebody who's hurt you so deeply? Well, whenever somebody's hurt you, you really only have two options, really. There's really only two options. One is make them pay. I'm going to make them pay for what they did. The problem with the make them pay path is it's really hard to make them pay, right? Because typically they don't want to pay, right? Typically it's hard to extract that out of them. How do you ever get to the place where you say we're even now? Many times you're not in the position to do it. You don't have the power to do it. I mean, how does a child make their father pay? It's hard. They try, but you never feel like you have. How many of y'all have tried in vain to make your parents pay for what they did to you, but you still don't feel like they ever could or ever will? Or maybe your boss has done something to you. You can't possibly get them back. The Navy's done something to you. Who's the Navy? You can't get the Navy back, right? You can't make them pay. It just doesn't happen. You can't always get back at the person. Some of y'all are laughing. You know what I'm saying? So you just can't always get back at the person who's hurt you. You just can't always do it. So what happens? You can't make them hurt, so you eventually will make everybody hurt, including yourself. Which is why hurt people hurt people. Because when you want somebody else to pay for what they've done to you, you will hurt everybody around you, including yourself. When it comes down to it, really the only other option is to make Jesus pay. And he says, bring it on. He says, bring it on. Those are really your only two options, is try to make them pay or to let Jesus pay. And what I mean by let Jesus pay is Jesus went to the cross simply to pay for the sins of the whole world. And of all the studies I've done in forgiveness, one of the best quotes I've found on it, don't judge me for this, I found it through research, not because I was sitting on the couch at 4 o'clock in the afternoon watching it back in the day, okay? I man card intact. On the Oprah Winfrey Show, some disclaimers have to be given. They had a secular psychiatrist on there. The topic of the day on Oprah was forgiveness. And she said something very profound. The question was, how do you forgive? And these people were kind of babbling on, but none of it seemed to make any coherent sense. And one lady just cut through it all. She says, I don't have an answer for you, Oprah. Forgiveness is a spiritual issue. You need to talk to a pastor about that. And she was right. You don't have the capacity to just forgive. You don't. You'll end up making somebody pay. Somebody's going to pay. The only way that somebody outside of this realm can pay is through Jesus Christ. That's it. It's a spiritual issue. And what Jesus Christ says to us is you need to forgive others in the same way that I've forgiven you. He tells a parable about a guy who's been forgiven of a great debt. He just calls up a number. He owes $1 billion to the master. And the master calls him in. He's going to make him pay for it. And out of a moment of compassion and grace, the master just says, he goes, I forgive you of it all. But that guy, not recognizing or not receiving that kind of forgiveness and is not willing to accept it, he goes out and he finds somebody who owes him just a few $1,000 and he chokes the guy out because he's still hurting and a hurt person is going to hurt people and he doesn't really accept the forgiveness. And so he's trying to give this picture. Listen, if you've been forgiven of so much, how could you not forgive somebody else for what they've done to you? which is why the Apostle Paul, he says it in Colossians chapter 3, therefore, as God's chosen people, as a holy and dearly loved, in other words, because you've been so loved by God, because you've been forgiven by God, he says, clothe yourselves with compassion and kindness and humility and gentleness and patience. I love how he calls it clothing. This is something daily you got to put on. And because it is not inherently in me, this is something I got to put on. I got to put this on every single day. I got to put on compassion. I got to put on kindness. I got to put on humility. I got to put on gentleness. And sometimes you set me off and I'm like, I'm taking this off. You know, but God says you got to put it on. Verse 13, and bear with each other. You got to bear with them. They're sinful, fallen people too. And forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive just as the Lord forgave you. Just as the Lord. How did God forgive you? Totally and completely for everything. Now, I know forgiveness is hard. It's really hard. It can be done. In one of my other messages on forgiveness, I share this analogy that forgiveness is a big expense. And typically with your big expenses, you usually do those on credit, right? I mean, your house, maybe a car, whatever it might be. And when you buy something on credit, you have to keep making payments on it, right? Every month the bill comes in. Every time you see that person, it's like the bill is coming in. And you keep making a payment on that forgiveness. You keep making a payment on that forgiveness. You keep making a payment on that forgiveness. What does that payment look like? That payment simply looks like this, where you got to pause for a moment when the hurt wells up, and just pause for a moment and say, what have I done to hurt Jesus Christ? What have I done to hurt my God? And what has he forgiven me for? And you just start listing it out and listing it out and listing it out. And if you have a hard time of forgiving them, it's because you haven't done a good job of listing out all your own hurts. Everything that you've done to cause God grief, everything you've done to cause pain, everything you've done to cause hurt in your life. And somewhere in the midst of all that, what they've done is all of a sudden going to seem really petty and really small in light of everything that God's forgiven you for. And you just make that payment. You say, God, no, it's all good. I can't possibly hold this against them with everything you've forgiven me for. Now, I know for some of you, you're looking at me and saying, Steve, but you're a pastor. You've lived a nice, insulated, cushy life, I'm sure. You don't know what it's like for us real folk out here. I'll just say this. Some of y'all know my story. Some of y'all don't know my story. Some of y'all think you know my story. You only know part of my story. Not that it's ever good to brag or go toe-to-toe to compare hurts, but I'm pretty sure I can go toe-to-toe with every one of y'all in this room with hurts, betrayals from the people who have been closest to me in my life. Rarely ever have we played the whole let's compare hurts game and I go, whoa, you got me beat. It's happened. It's happened. A couple of y'all have gotten me on this. But I'm always in the running. Let me put it that way. It's possible to forgive. It is. A lot of payments. A lot of payments. A lot of payments over a lot of time. Some of you might ask the question, how do you know when you're paid in full on that? Because the bank sends you a note, says it's all paid up. You don't owe us anything else. House is yours free and clear. Your life is back to yours. You don't owe anything anymore. You don't know until you see that person and there's no more hurt. That's how you know. It's like, you know, the bill comes in the mail and all of a sudden it says you don't owe anything. That bill is every time you saw them. Remember, you always had to make that payment. There will be a day that will come. There will be a day that will come where you'll see that person and you won't feel the hurt anymore. You'll have healed. You'll have healed. And it will happen. And I got a lot of hurts in my life that, you know, I don't hurt anymore from. Christmas Eve was a trigger for me. Birthdays were a trigger for me. There were people who were a trigger for me. And every year those would come around and I have a really hard time with them. I celebrate Christmas now. I celebrate my birthdays now. There's no hurt there anymore. And so the truism of life is that hurt people will hurt people. Well, we see the truth of Scripture is that forgiven people will forgive people. But it gets even better that healed people can help people. See, once you've gotten to forgiveness, you can forgive others. You get to this place of healing. And once you get to the place of healing, now you can actually help people from this place of healing. You see, as long as the wound is open, it's going to be tender. Now, I've got this little cut. It's still here lingering around on my hand. This is a really bad spot to have a cut. Now, when it first happened, I thought it was a splinter, not a cut. And I'm one of those people who, if it's a splinter, I don't care the pain. I know that the pain's going to continue unless you get rid of the splinter, right? Some of you are like, no, just let it work out. No. Just dig the thing out and take care of it. That's my philosophy, right? So I got out three different pairs of tweezers and dug at this thing, including a small pair of scissors, and dug at this thing. Only to realize there was no splinter in there. Or if there was, it and all of the flesh around it was now gone. And this isn't a very comfortable place to have a deep, basically this thing's been deep. It's really, really deep. And every time I grip something, it hurts, right? And every time I would grip something, if I ever turned or bent in any way, it would just open the scab back up, right? The wound would just keep opening and opening and opening. It would hurt and hurt and hurt. And that's the way your emotional pains are. The deeper they are, the longer they hurt. And anytime anybody gets anywhere near that sensitive area, right, they get a reaction, right? You know, somebody would go to shake my hand, and I would have a reaction, you know? Warranted because I knew my pain, not warranted because they didn't know my pain, right? I shouldn't have put my hand out there, right? I should have protected, hey, just so you know, I'm kind of hurt right here. Now, eventually this is going to heal over. I'll shake your hand and have no recollection whatsoever that there was ever any hurt there at all. Because once you get to the place of healing, it doesn't hurt anymore. That's why you know you've gotten to that place of healing. The most powerful thing, though, is once you get to the place of healing, you can now help somebody. Paul talks about this over in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. We don't know what the context was. He just simply says, "Praise be to God and Father, Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort." He says, "who comforts us in all our troubles." Now, in this chapter, he talks about how he was pushed to the point where he didn't even want to live anymore. He doesn't say what his hurt was exactly. Over in chapter, I think, 11, he describes a bunch of stuff he's been through. Like, he says, you want to go toe-to-toe on the hurts? Fine. He's like, let's play the hurt game. And he does that in chapter 11. He says, I doubt any of y'all can go toe-to-toe with me within the hurt game. I stacked my stuff up against Paul. He wins. But you look at all this stuff he's been through. He says, I got to the point I didn't want to live anymore. But in that time, God's grace covered me. And I've healed from it. And I've processed through it in light of God's grace. And he says, the Father, the God of compassion, of all comfort, who's comfort us in our troubles, so that we can comfort any of those who are in trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. This word comfort is a word to come alongside. It's actually the same word that's used often of the Holy Spirit, is the great comforter. It's this picture, you're going to come alongside, you're going to sit with somebody, you're going to be there to support them, to comfort them, to encourage them, to help them. And he's saying, I can come alongside you and encourage you and help you and comfort you in your pain right now that you're going through, because I've been through a pain that God's healed me through. Because God's healed me through this pain, I can now be a source of healing and comfort to you. Isn't it true that the most encouraging and helpful people are often the people who've been right where you've been? There's no greater words in life than somebody says, I've been there. I've walked that path. That happened in my marriage. I lost my son. Last year, my dog died. You've been through those painful times. You've been through those hurts. You've been through those betrayals. And you've processed it through forgiveness, and you've made the payments on forgiveness over and over and over again. And now you're able to share and talk with this person, and they look at you and they say, but aren't you hurting? I did for a long time. But I've walked through the process of forgiveness, and I've healed from it now. And one day you will too. It may not happen this Christmas. My hope in between now and the time you get to your healing is that you won't regift your hurt. You'll process it through forgiveness this year. And maybe, just maybe, there'll come be a Christmas. There'll be a year, there'll be a season of your life where, because you've healed from that hurt, you can give the gift of healing. You can give the gift of comfort. You can give the gift of grace. And that's my hope for you, and that's my prayer for you in this Christmas season. Everybody else gives their hurt. Those who've been impacted by the love of Christ allow Christ to be hurt from what they've done and get to the place of healing where they can become a help. Let's pray. Father, we all come into this room with hurts. And none of us have dealt with our hurts every single time in a God-honoring fashion. We've hurt others. We've betrayed others. We've cheated on others. We've stolen from others. We've yelled at others. We've hurt people because of our own hurts. Father, just ask that right now we would just kind of think through that and just think about the people we need to apologize to and begin by just simply apologizing to you, Father, for the way we've acted and the things that we've done. And just ask that your grace might cover over us. And secondly, Father, we'd also just ask, Lord, that you would give us the power and the capacity to forgive just the way we've been forgiven. That we might begin the path and the journey towards healing and wholeness. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Essential Church Podcast. Let me encourage you to pause for a moment and reflect on what you've heard. It's not the hearing of the word, but the application that makes all the difference.